The Jacksonville Jaguars select Mason Smith, defensive tackle, LSU.
When you look at him, Joel, and you're looking at trying to build out your defensive front, and you bring over Eric Armstead, who's huge. We know about Trayvon Walker and what a physical freak he was as the first overall pick. They've got some rare dudes now just in terms of the size, length, and athleticism up front.
Rolls away from pressure, in trouble. Just throws it up for grabs, and it is intercepted. Jarian Jones picked it off. Keelan Robinson on the return.
With the 114th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Javon Foster, tackle, Missouri.
Doom! 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Happy Monday. It's the first of a full week here in May, early May. Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Doing well.
A big Cinco de Mayo celebration yesterday, did you?
No, I did have some tacos for dinner, so that's as much as I participated in Cinco de Mayo
okay,
yesterday.
I played golf. It has nothing to do with Cinco de Mayo, though. Mm-hmm. And I didn't play particularly well. Pockets, how about you?
Went golfing. I took a fat nap in the afternoon.
Fat nap.
I mean, it was like 2-hour nap.
All right.
I don't know why I was tired, but yeah, that was how I spent my holiday.
You run hard, man. I know you're a young guy. You know, you're skinny. Are you eating enough these days?
I mean, enough.
Such a dad question.
I worry, Tony. I'm getting old. I'm old enough to be Pockets' dad very easily. Pockets, are you sure I'm not your dad?
Is that? I don't think so.
All right.
My dad looks just like me, so.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah.
Poor guy. All right. Good morning, everybody. I did not watch any of the Tom Brady roast, Tony.
Neither did I.
I did see some of the highlights. Pockets watched it for us. He was our correspondent. How good was it, Dylan?
I'll give it a B+.
Yeah,
it was pretty good.
Some parts were the jokes. Good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, we haven't seen a roast in a while.
Yeah, I mean, roasts are what they are.
Yeah.
Like they're like, don't watch or listen to a roast and expect anything that you could play on this program.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
It's as foul as you could possibly be and uncomfortable as you could possibly make people. And it's all supposed to be everyone's doing this ha-ha with smiles on their face. Tom Brady got a little upset, apparently, with Jeff Ross because Jeff Ross made a joke about Tom Brady offering a massage to Robert Kraft in their first meeting. And
That's too good.
I mean, it's a great, because everybody knows you when he said, hey, this is the best decision your organization's ever made, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the infamous thing, and Ross said he set it up, best decision you've ever made. 199th pick in the draft. You're not going to regret this. Also, would you like a massage? All right, words to that effect. All right, words. I didn't see the joke. I have seen a lot of the ones, but, and then Tommy got a little. Don't you ever say that stuff again, man. Stop it, dude.
Relax, man.
Don't agree to be roasted.
Yeah.
Do you get paid to be roasted? Like, that's the one thing. Like,
I'm sure Netflix gave him a nice chunk of change.
What could you possibly offer Tom Brady that would make it worth it to be roasted, though? Like, I guess
unless
a big fat donation to your charity or
right,
something.
Like, unless you just enjoy the spectacle of it all.
I guess.
Right? Like, I can understand just having that kind of personality. It's like, yeah, bring it on. This will be fun. Right? Like, if that's the way that you approach it, it'll be fun. You know, I'm not unaware of the things they're going to needle.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of thing. But, you know.
I'll be honest. I got no interest in it.
You have to be willing to do it.
There's,
yeah.
There's too much that would be like, is that a joke? I'm not really sure. You know, I think it would alter relationships at that point in time. But, hey, it's out there if you like that kind of thing. It's up on Netflix and by most accounts, it was pretty good if you like roasts, you know. So,
sure.
And some unexpected people apparently were pretty funny. Who was the funniest guy you wouldn't think was funny, Dylan, or lady?
Like Bill Belichick was pretty good.
He was?
Yeah.
I heard Bledsoe was pretty good.
He was one. I had no idea that
he
was that funny.
Joke that he told. But anyway, I'll go back and probably check out parts of that throughout the course of the day. I saw you checking out some of the power rankings this weekend. Like, people are getting upset.
Yeah.
And I'm of two minds, Tony. Like,
uh-huh.
I do look at power rankings, and I go, on the one hand, you know, how our feeling. We always say the power rankings are the standings.
Yes.
These are so inconsequential. I mean, college football fans are used to power rankings because that's how for years you selected a champion. You just, I think they're better. It doesn't matter who they lost to or who they beat. Mm-hmm. I think they're better, so I'm going to say they're the champ. Yep. And that's not how the NFL works. So it doesn't have any bearing. It matters in college. You start out ranked behind five other teams, certain five other teams, now with the expansion of the playoff, different story and all that. But, you know, it does matter in terms of seeding and where you get. In the NFL, you're going to start at 0-0, and you can say anything you like about the Jags. If the Jags go out and win 12 games, 12-5 is going to get them what it gets them. But people do like them. It's off-season fodder, but you're seeing an awful lot of people that are just trashing what the Jags have done and or not done or seemingly unaware of some of what they're up to this offseason. You know, like, you can agree that they've addressed certain things, whether they've addressed them well enough. Nobody knows. Nobody knows that with any team in the NFL. Even if you get an established star, sometimes those guys don't perform the way you expect them to. But there is a sentiment out there that the Jags are a bottom 10 team and descending while the rest of the division is passing them by, not just Houston, okay? In the big picture, I don't feel that way.
No.
I don't think you do, no. Right? But, so there's that one, like, you kind of like, you're not paying attention to what they're doing. But on the other hand, in many of the last 10, 12, 15 years, the national perception of what this team is going to do has been way below what the local perception is, and the national perception has been more accurate. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's even that it's more just like, we're going to keep throwing it out there. They stink. That's that franchise, and we're not going to get excited about it. And more often than not, you're right, as it's turned out over the last decade and a half, because a lot of the critiques I often find aren't, like, backed up with all the right facts, but it's hard to argue that the Jags have failed to live up to expectations.
Yeah, we've been...
the Shad Khan era.
We've been doing these shows long enough for everyone to know we don't react to power rankings.
No, right? I don't freak out about them. I might look at them like anybody else.
Because I see them, I'm like, okay, they got the Jaguars where? All right, it's not even notable, right? Like, most of the power rankings that have even come out post-draft are not even notable to me, right? You got the Jags at 16, 17, somewhere around 20, right? If you want to put
them where they were,
right? Like, if that's where you want them to put them in a power ranking, fine. Like, I can understand that. The only reason I commented on the one from The Athletic there was because they had the Jags all the way down at 26. 26. They're saying the only teams in the NFL they're better than at this point were the Giants, Titans, Cardinals, Saints, Broncos, and Panthers.
At least we got the Titans in there. I mean.
Right. Like, most of the time with power rankings, I don't react to them at all. This one was so off the mark of what I would expect the Jaguars to be in a power ranking at this point. Not that any of it matters, right?
No, it doesn't matter, but it's still curious. How do you come to this conclusion?
Right. If they had put them at 10, I would have been going, huh?
Oh, it's a little high.
Yeah.
Or you would have been like, high, but you still, I think it's a natural reaction. Like, I like when I see them selected high because, okay, other people are seeing that they did address this. They did make this move. They do expect improvement in this area from this player, that player, this position group, what have you. But I'm with you. That would have them earning the 7th pick in the draft.
Yeah. They got worse than the 7 other teams they were better than last year with what they did this offseason. I'd explain that argument to me. Right? Because I certainly don't see that. I don't think the Jags are any worse than a middle-of-the-pack team.
On paper, no.
Yeah.
On paper, no. Like, who's to say? Could they finish behind any one of the teams that's ahead of them? I think they could. I mean, like, I'd have a hard time believing New England's going to be better than the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Agreed.
This year. Or not? You know, there are other ones that would surprise me, but it is the NFL. I mean, it is sports, pro sports. Shouldn't shock us this much. This one at The Athletic, though, was a little bit – I mean, you look at the top. Look, they've got Houston at 5, by the way. They're everybody's darling, but
– they're Jacksonville last year.
And that's part of it.
Yeah.
Okay? The Jags, anyone who – I don't know what Josh Kendall of The Athletic, and that's who the power ranking you reacted to out there was. I don't know what he predicted for Jacksonville last year, but I do think there's some of that, I said that they're going to be the sneaky 13-win team, or they're the sneaky – AFC championship game participant or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I look dumb because they didn't back up my prediction, right? And I do think there's sometimes a, well, I'm not going to go down that road again. I'll show them kind of thing. Yeah, you know,
yeah.
I really do think that a little bit of the psychology, if you pick a team to do well and they fail to live up to expectations, I just think sometimes they swing the pendulum back a little too far the other way to almost overcompensate for it.
And I do think the psychology of it to me is more, with Jacksonville specifically, the psychology of it to me is more often, I can put them wherever I want, nobody cares. Right?
Some of that.
Right? Like, I think that's a big part of it with these kinds of things.
As great as the fan base is and as virulent as they'll defend Trevor Lawrence and others, there's only so many of you.
Yeah.
Right? And at least that's how they feel about it. And look, some have learned. Jaguar fans come hard and come in bunches. And if you don't like that kind of attention, then say something negative about the fan base on social media.
Nobody cares is a relative kind of thing, right? It's the NFL. All 32 teams are important, right? There's only 32 of them.
Every team has millions of fans.
NFL
probably.
Fans
I'm
can...
guessing. Millions?
Right. NFL fans can at least give you some idea of where all the other teams in the league are in a given year, right? They can give you a player or two from every team in the league. Name another sport that has that, right? And they can continue to pretend like, well, it's Jacksonville, so it's irrelevant. It's only irrelevant when you're comparing them only to Dallas, right? If you're just comparing them to how important is the league to everything else that's going on, then, yeah, the team that you may view as the bottom quarter of the league, the Jaguars are so much more relevant than any other league with their bottom quarter of teams. Way more relevant because it's the NFL.
Yes.
Like there's no such thing as an irrelevant team in the National Football League, but they're going to treat Jacksonville the way they want to treat Jacksonville. It is what it is.
There are roughly, they're saying 342 million people in the U.S., right? Mm-hmm. What percentage of those people are NFL fans? I don't know what the number is, right?
Yeah.
Probably less than 50% though, right?
I would assume.
I mean, not as much as the NFL permeates the sports world, not everybody –
yeah,
frankly, cares, right?
That even if you just put it at 100 million.
Okay, 100. So
a third of the country is an NFL fan.
I think it might be higher.
It might be, but.
So what number? And I don't think there's a good scientific way to come up with this. I mean, you can do surveys and polls and all this kind of stuff and get a rough estimate, but how many Jacksonville Jaguar fans are there? You know, what number of people identify themselves as primarily a Jaguar fan first? And it, you know, there are some people that are like, well, I root for this team and this team. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. If you list the Jags first among the teams that you root for, and most people have one team that they root for exclusively, what does that number come to? I don't know.
I don't know.
I really don't. Because I said millions, and I'm thinking about it. You know, like, well, they're only, you know, if there are 100 million people.
Yeah, there's only a million people here.
There's going to be a disproportionate amount that are Dallas Cowboy fans.
Yes.
And Green Bay Packer fans because they've
had Steelers fans, yeah.
Decades of legacy to build and success and on and on and on. So I don't know. Well, either way, you're the smartest fans in the National Football League rooting for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Today, we're going to try to figure out if Trent Baalke made any smart decisions after the first round last year. Okay, we're kind of going back and looking at last year's draft class beyond Anton Harrison and not including Antonio Johnson. We didn't include everybody in this. We narrowed it down to four players we wanted to put in the poll today for your Chad and Sandy Real Estate Jaguars Today question of the day. Which of these 2023 draft picks will ultimately provide the most value for the Jacksonville Jaguars? Now, you can define value how you want to. It may be just like, okay, I've got these players. Who gives me the most? It could be who gives me the most relative to where I drafted him, mm-hmm. right? So if you want to say, well, I don't know if he'll be as good as this guy, but we did get him this late. So maybe the value will be a little bit better. So the four we went with, some were obvious. Brenton Strange and Tank Bigsby, right? They're second and third round picks who they seem to have a plan for, but didn't really give you much last year. Ventrell Miller, who knows, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy, when healthy in college, was unbelievable at times, right? Now, plenty of guys come into the National Football League who were unbelievable and never make their mark. But Ventrell Miller is like a, a free square, right? He's just like a free roll of the dice here. Mm-hmm. And whatever he gives you at this point is almost gravy because it's a sunk cost. He's here. You don't think about him a whole lot. Let's see how he factors in. So you got – we put Miller in, and then we're looking at the rest of them. Like, man, nobody's voting for Tyler Lacy. Sorry, Tyler. You know, didn't make an impression.
Sure.
At all, right? Yusir Abdullah.
And that depth chart is –
loaded at Tyler Lacy's spot now, right? At least with bodies, whether they're all great, whatever. But Yusir Abdullah, does he even fit in the scheme anymore, you know? And didn't want to include him. So we went with Cooper Hodges for the last spot because a lot of people have projected that ultimately they'd at least like to see if he's got what it takes to compete at that right guard spot and maybe get some value late in the draft with a starting offensive lineman. So Strange, Bigsby, Miller, Hodges, those are your choices in the poll today. They're all getting double-digit support with the vote today. You can vote on social media, at MD_1010XL. Already over 300 on this one. It seems like a rapidly moving poll this morning. You can go to at 1010XL Fat Tony. You can go to at 1010XL Denmark.
Go Tigers.
All right. I didn't know if we had something new for the week, but that's where we're at. 641-1010 on the All-Pro Roofing phone lines and on the text line. Designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Let's look at some guys. It's so easy to focus on the new crop and forget about some of the guys that are a little bit hidden and didn't do a whole lot last year. I mean, we do talk about Strange and Bigsby a good deal, but let's get into it with the rest of that draft class because you're going to need some contributions from them to get to where you want to be, which is certainly not the 26th best team in the National Football League. Thank you to The Athletic. All right, I think we've laid it out there for you. If you want to be a part of it, you know how to do it. Oh, don't forget the YouTube chat. We're up and live on the virtual studio there as well. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark kicking off a fresh week. You're listening to Jaguars Today. Keep it right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, glad you're along this morning, and please do hop on if you're online and vote in today's poll, and people giving a lot of reasons for why they're going with where they're going. One person who just voted said, I picked Ventrell Miller for special teams potential, but really would be surprised if any provide, quote, value. Better provide something. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to play. Brenton Strange and Tank Bigsby, I think Miller's going to end up playing a lot. In whatever capacity, and Cooper Hodges at least has a chance to maybe be a starting guard, maybe at some point this year, Tony, but I think more likely, as we've talked about, kind of had a redshirt injury season where, you know, who knows if Cooper Hodges had been available last year, how they'd feel about him, how he would have, what he would have shown them, and where he would stand maybe in the competition. We might still have Sheriff on the roster, but maybe it would be more of a, yeah, he's there, but we think Hodges is going to overtake him. I think it's a complete mystery as to what Hodges can do at this point. But I do think that they are hoping that he shows enough that he has at least the chance to maybe be an opening day starting guard or a consideration for 2025 or at worst one of your like eight core offensive linemen, you know, at least for a period of time here.
Yeah, and if you are one of those who believe that Cooper Hodges is going to be the starting right guard by the time he finishes his rookie deal, who of those other four do you think is going to be definitely the starter?
Definitely none.
Right.
But you said that about Cooper, though, too, right?
Yeah.
So if you think
it's not definite. You might think Tank could be. Ventrell Miller, I would be stunned if he was the starting linebacker for him by the end of his rookie deal. Brenton Strange, that would be 1 year after Evan Engram may be gone, right? Like it's just,
right. You're saying the final year of his rookie contract,
right?
Right. Like Tank, I could see potentially. Like,
who knows what's going to happen in 2 years?
We don't know what's going to happen, yeah. Right? I mean, like, what if Travis Etienne rips it up for the next couple of years? Is it possible they give him like a 2 year deal or
maybe
something like that?
Yeah.
You know, like he's on the 5th year option for next year, and you and I have talked about it. I think we agree the likelihood is that's it for Travis Etienne here in Jacksonville. It's just kind of the nature of the position, find the next guy. But by then, Tone, because Tank Bigsby wasn't taken in the first round, you don't have the 5th-year option. You only have Tank for 1 year beyond what you have Travis Etienne.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he's got to show you a lot more to make you think that he can hold down that role. I will say I spoke with somebody over the weekend who lives in upstate New York who told me that Dearness Johnson's the backup in Jacksonville. I said, oh, is that right?
Breaking news?
Is that right? I wasn't aware in my position of covering the team and talking about them every day that he had jumped over Tank Bigsby. Now, look, I get.
He did for a time last season.
For a short time last year. But clearly, I think they have a role in vision for Tank Bigsby. And when Doug Peterson talked, where was it, at the Combine, about taking a little bit off ETN's plate this year, I think that's with Tank Bigsby in mind. I think they had that in mind last year. And he had ball security issues, and guys like, he can't hang on to the football. When you have an issue in a short window of time, it becomes, well, you can't do this, or you are this, or you are that. Well, Tiki Barber was a terrible fumbler until he wasn't, until Tom Coughlin fixed him and taught him how to hold the ball in a somewhat unique way, you know, kind of upright, but and it fixed him. Some guys are, you know, Fred Taylor. I hate the nickname, but called him Fragile Fred.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, Fred Taylor can't play a full season until he did. And then he played dominant seasons. And, you know, so when I hear Tank Bigsby can't hang on to the football, he had some issues last year. I'm not ready to say that Tank Bigsby is a complete bust and write him off. Look, if you hang on the ball, that obviously you got to be able to do that. You have to do it, especially if you're only getting the limited touches that he does. But if he does, he's got some ability.
Yeah.
I think.
You can go back and look. Tank Bigsby last year, 15 snaps week one, 12 snaps week two, 7, 8, 12, 16. Those are his snap counts through the first 6 weeks. Then 8, 6, 9, 10, 2, 2, 1, 1, 0.
They lost confidence.
Right. And then Carolina, he had 16, and that game was that game, and then 9 against Tennessee. So it did feel like they got a little bit of their confidence back with them, at least to use them.
Those are snaps, you
said? Those are snaps.
You got Dearness Johnson?
I can pull
them up. Dig up Dearness Johnson, and let's see what they were in comparison. But like, I don't know anybody. Like, Dearness Johnson deserves to be on somebody's 53-man roster.
Yeah.
He's a good enough running back to be in somebody's top three in the National Football League. But I don't think he's going to get near the action that Tank. Now, again, if you feel like Tank Bigsby is just not going to develop, if he's going to continue to be the guy that he showed in his worst moments as a rookie, that's your prerogative, right? Yep. That's why we asked the question. You got the number?
Yeah. For Dearness Johnson, 1-6 in weeks 1 and 2, then 12. Week 3, 1-1, 2-2, 3, 11, 17, 29, 24, 20, 18, 16, 12, 13.
So, obviously, as the season went on,
Tank went down.
You see what the plan was early on. Dearness Johnson's not going to play, right? Basically,
yeah.
in the early part of the season. You know, one snap, two snaps here or there, no big deal.
Yeah, he had 10 snaps in the first 8 weeks.
10 snaps. Ten
in the first 8 weeks.
Oh, look, if you, I
well,
guess.
Sorry, I was looking at the wrong thing. That was carries, but. Yeah,
okay.
He had no more than 12 in any game, and beyond that, it was 6. His first 8 weeks, let's see, that's 7, 9, 21, 28. He had 28 snaps in 8 weeks.
In 8 weeks, right.
He had three snaps a week.
Yeah, 3 to 4 snaps a week, whatever the case may be. So, not a whole lot.
No.
And again, I can't change your mind. Look, it's not my job to change your mind. If you think that Tank Bigsby is just done and kaput. I don't feel that way. In fact, look, about a third of the people voting the poll today think he's the best option here as well. He's going to play. He's going to touch the ball this year. He's going to have some opportunities. If you're asking me who is going to have the most value this year, I think it's easily between Strange and Bigsby. But I think the long term brings Hodges strongly into the equation. And I think Ventrell Miller's a complete wild card, Tony. Look, Strange is going to play. Right? If he's healthy, he's going to play in run formations. I would assume they're going to get him a little bit more involved in the pass offense, but that's going to be more like an afterthought. Yeah. Can he get the targets that Luke Farrell get? You know, Luke Farrell always seems to come down with a 17-yard catch every week. Kind of can Brenton Strange be that? Maybe. But while Evan Engram is here, as long as he's healthy, Brenton Strange is not going to have much of a significant pass-catching impact on this football team.
Wouldn't expect him to.
Not with the receivers you got at the top and the backs coming into the backfield as well. So anyway, jump on that. We got about 400 votes on this one already, and which of these 2023 draft picks will ultimately provide the most value for the Jags? Is it Strange, Bigsby, Miller, or Cooper Hodges? We'll turn the page and continue to talk about this new incoming rookie class as well. We got rookie minicamp starting up later on this week. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark here with you. 641-1010 if you want to get in on All Pro Roofing phone lines or on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
I'm going to have to decide, do I want to dip my toe in the waters of the lunatic fringe today, Tone? I just might stir the pot a little bit here. We'll see coming up. But first, pour one out for the Foxborough career of great New England Patriot legend Nathan Rourke.
Yeah.
Who has been unceremoniously dumped by the team. How can that possibly be, Tony, as I was told by at least 14 harebrained people that he was a better quarterback option than Trevor Lawrence here in Jacksonville. But not good enough to hold that spot over Bailey Zappi on the Patriots depth chart.
Apparently
now.
Not. No.
So, not good enough for them to say, hey, you know what? We'll just take Marvin Harrison Jr. We got Nathan Rourke. We don't need Drake May. Right. We get Harrison in here. We uncork Rourke. Uncork Rourke. We should have had those T-shirts last year. Missed opportunity.
Yeah, if you were paying attention to the process last year, the Jags had already cut him and brought him back on the practice squad three or four times.
Yes.
Before they cut him, and he got waived, and the Patriots picked him up in December. Right? He wasn't there all year. He was there in December last year for the Patriots. And in case you can't remember what was happening last year in December with the Patriots at quarterback, was chaos.
Right.
Right? So it was like, okay, here's a body that may be available to us. And it took them a few months evaluation to say, we got better options.
Well, let me ask you this. Would the Jags have any interest in bringing him back on this depth chart when you've got Mac Jones, you got CJ Beathard? I wouldn't think so.
Because like, Beathard's likely going to be a practice squad guy anyway.
You would think so, right? And like, you don't need another camp arm. And I don't know if you're going to hide Rourke. Teams who like him know about him. He's out there. I mean, you can have him on your practice squad, but that doesn't give you any protection because I doubt, like last year, somebody wants to sign him that you're going to promote him and put him on the active roster to do what it takes, the steps necessary to make sure that nobody else can have him.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, they obviously, Drake May is expected to be the starter.
Or not.
Eventually, maybe to start the season,
right,
we'll
a
see.
A lot of people think Jacoby Brissett might roll until,
is
you
there.
Know.
That's 1-2. Bailey Zappi going to be the 3, and they drafted Joe Milton in the 6th round this year.
Yeah, if Bailey Zappi makes the team.
Yeah.
He'll be the 3, you know. So they don't need Nathan Rourke. It's just like, yeah, he's a preseason folk hero of sorts because he made that one
play
crazy play. And he played well in general. Well, but not like something we haven't seen out of a billion quarterbacks in the preseason. I mean, the one play stands out. He's escaping trouble, and he's spinning around, and he throws a touchdown. Great play.
It's an insane
play. Fun
play.
Yeah. Fun play, no doubt about it. One of the few preseason plays I'll ever remember from the Jaguars because I don't really tend to remember plays that happen in the preseason. But for all those who who are Nathan Rourke, Rourke devotees, you can either have a chance to have him back or maybe you're realizing
follow
he's
wherever
not
he goes next.
The succession plan for anybody in the National Football League. Regina is who we're going to kick things off. I hope this is a fantastic call. I always count on Regina to bring the goods, and it's our first call of the week, so let's find out. Regina, good morning. You're on Jaguars Today.
Good morning. Boy, that's a tough act to follow.
It's a big setup for you, but I think you're up to it. So what do you have for
Thank
us today?
You. Thanks. First of all, Jaguars don't get any respect from national media. That's
agreed.
Given. The other two, you said, and this is a comment that Britton Strange isn't going to get much playing time. But here's my comment and question. I don't think the O-line used its resources. You know, I was one of those fans that thought the O-line didn't do their job either. So coaches didn't do their job. And isn't Britton Strange's forte being a blocker.
Yes, and so if I didn't say, let me just interject real quickly. I'll let you finish your point. If I didn't say it this specifically, I thought I did. What I was saying, I didn't think he'd get a lot of action in the passing game. Like, I agree with you.
Okay.
As a blocker, yeah. As like that sixth lineman, and in short yardage situations, and I'm not saying he'll never get the ball his way, but go ahead, continue your thought.
My thought is that the offensive line and the offensive coach, those guys had to up their game, have to study the defenses that they're facing, and plug Brenton Strange in where he'll do his job as a blocker. And I'll take your comments off the air. Have a good one, guys.
Thank you, Regina. We appreciate you. Yeah, I think that's where he'll make most of his impact, Tone. Mm-hmm. That's not a good use of your resources, I don't think, in the second round of the NFL draft, but it is what it is, and he's here now. I just can't, you know, we're talking about not utilized very much. You got so many guys ahead of him for targets in the passing game that if Evan Engram stays healthy, Brenton Strange, that, like we said, could he be Luke Farrell in terms of passing game production? Have that one play that you go every week, oh, yeah, Luke Farrell, there he goes again. Wonder why they didn't use him more, or wonder why they always go to Luke once early and then never go back to him, or whatever the case may be. Could he take those? Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it's not that much.
Yeah, I think Brenton Strange is a talented enough guy that I would expect him to get closer to kind of the role that I thought he was going to play last year.
What is that?
Right? I think that he is the guy that can be on the field as your blocking tight end anytime you need him to be. And I think he can give you enough as a wide receiver that the production that they got out of him in the past game, it makes sense because of how much they were using Evan Engram and some of these other guys. I don't expect it to be some massive role, but I do think he obviously should be on the field for any two tight end stuff they're running. I think he should be on the field for any of that. And I do think he gives you such a better option in the past game than even Farrell does, who I think is okay. But I think Strange is a more talented player from that perspective than Luke Farrell is. And who knows what the numbers would have looked like if he hadn't had that injury that he had. I mean, it did knock him out for three games.
Sure.
You know,
and that's possible, but that's part of it too. He's got to stay healthy.
And you saw his snap counts. It was affected. He was getting somewhere between 25 and 30 snaps a week is what Brenton Strange was getting. Then he missed those three games, and in two of the last three games, he had 11. Right? Like, his usage just changed the last 3 weeks of the season, even when he was healthy enough to get back on the field for the football team. So I do expect it to look, from a snap count perspective, a lot like it did for him last year. You know, somewhere in that 30-35 snap count.
Did you notice
range.
Him in that 25 snap? Like if you had told me he was playing 25 snaps a game at any point, I would have been surprised.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't notice the impact, and certainly, look, the Jags struggled in short yardage. It's not all a rookie tight end's fault or responsibility, but that is one of the areas where they thought both the second and third round pick would help them.
That's one of those where I tend to rely on, you know, we have logs in here every Tuesday with us, and especially the first half of the season when we'd ask them about the rookies and how they're doing and what's going to happen with Tank, because he did look like he was falling out of favor. Right, with the team. And when we would ask about Brenton Strange, he would say, I really like what he's doing. Right? It's not that he's very active in what they had him doing in the pass game, but he loved him as a blocker in the pass game and the run game. He loved him in that kind of role. And certainly the injury affected that for the last month and a half of the season. So I expect him to be back on pace with that, and it can't hurt him to have a year under his belt to work with Trevor Lawrence. But I don't expect him to be any more than the number two tight end. He's not taking Evan Engram's role.
I don't think anybody expects
that. Like, in the offense. But I think he's a talented enough player that his options as a pass catcher should expand to some degree here in year two.
All right, let's get our man Byron in Gainesville getting in early as well. Byron, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you all guys so much for taking my call.
Duval! What's up, Byron?
Got to get that in. Hey, guys, you know, I heard you guys talking about our rating and how it fell from last year. And, you know, obviously I'm a fan and I don't think it's right. But, guys, let me give you a theory why I think we might be getting that. Because, for one, like you guys were mentioning, Houston and teams like that, that's kind of seeming to pass us. But, you know, Trevor's been here 3 years. And the first year I'm not even going to get into. But, you know, if you go back and look at his receiving core, with Ridley, it seems to change every year. And guys, this is just a theory. I want you guys to just try to look in this real quick, and I'll spend a lot of time. But the best teams in the NFL, Kansas City, i.e., might have lost Hill, but the receiving core and the core of the team stays together. I'm not trying to point fingers at Jacksonville, but just look at some of the key areas like receiving. I mean, this is the third year, so now we got almost a new receiving group. And you remember the cruisers and all that stuff. I think the cohesiveness and the bond with these guys at least need to be 2 to 3 years.
Let me ask you, Byron. Byron, go ahead. Kelsey, Chris Jones, and, of course, Mahomes.
Right.
Stay there. The rest of that Kansas City receiving core, I mean, they dumped Tyreek Hill.
They do. Yeah, you're right. They do, yeah, and I agree. I'm not cutting y'all, but they do. You know, they're going to have a bunch of people. I should say transfer them going to college. But but the core, I mean, you want to at least play with a guy 2 years or more. And I think Hill was at Kansas City for, 3 years?
Yeah, but like what I'm saying, when they got rid of him, they drafted Sky Moore, and he did nothing. Mm-hmm. They drafted Rashee Rice, and in his first year, he was their leading receiver among wide receivers. This year, they signed a one-year deal with Marquise Brown. They draft Isaiah Worthy, so there's not a whole lot of continuity.
It's Sky Moore, who they drafted in the second round, but hasn't had a big impact. He was good in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
You know how you can get over that? Those last two rings.
Oh, for sure. And Kadarius Toney, who they traded for, and there were people who thought that was going to turn the NFL world on its head. Right, Toney going to the Kansas City Chiefs. It didn't turn out that way. The Kansas City is as willing to flip-flop at wide receiver as any team in the league, and it tells you how good their quarterback is.
Right.
Right? Like, that's what it's telling you there. So Trevor Lawrence needs to play well enough that when the receiving core gets turned over, the team still succeeds at a high level. And I think he's talented enough to give you that kind of thing.
And that's why it's hard to grade bulk in those guys, because it's money involved and people want to be traded and, signing those one-year deals. So, I'm not even trying to play that game. But just a theory, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Hey, Byron, we appreciate it. Go Jags. Byron, you're always welcome. Look.
Yeah, Kansas City's fascinating.
You know what GM does a great job? Whichever team's hoisting the trophy.
That's who
did a great job, man.
They make that trade for Kadarius Toney, and people really thought that was going to be, my gosh, the league is in trouble now.
It's crazy. Like, you see it in fantasy football the same way you see it in real football, right? Someone goes to play with Mahomes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
This is amazing. I'm going to get Mahomes' favorite target. Oh, you mean you're getting Kelsey?
Yeah.
Remember, I'm getting his new favorite. You mean Rice? No, I'm getting the new Marquise Brown or Worthy?
Like 2 years ago, when it was the Chiefs who was the team that were willing to sign Justin Ross. Right, after that draft.
What brilliant move that was.
And there's just nothing there. They don't need him to be what he might have been able to be without all the injuries.
I would have loved for the Jags to take a flyer on Justin Ross.
I would have too.
I'm not going to try to deny that, but that's what it would be.
Right, but Kansas City is a healthy enough team that they don't need Justin Ross to do that.
They signed MVS to a 3-year deal. He pops up for one or two good games a year, drops a bunch of passes the rest of the time.
Yeah.
But they win the championship, so in the end, you win it all, and you're like,
we tried.
I gave this guy a pass.
It's okay. Yeah.
No one is. And put it this way: if the Jags win the Super Bowl, what should be the moratorium on real angst? Minimum 1 year. I mean, I think I've always thought if your team wins a championship, you should probably not be losing your mind for the next 4 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's tough to win championships. So if you get one. Most people are not going to have their favorite team win anything in the next decade, right? Unless you root for one of the favorites out there. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
The chances are the Jags don't win a Super Bowl in the next decade. If you get one, I want two, I want three. And I'm not saying we'll sit there and go, okay, now rest on your laurels this offseason. Don't push. No, when you're at that level, do what it takes to stay at that level and ride that wave. That's great. But if you're unable to maintain that success, because guess what? Most people don't. Most people don't achieve it. Then once they do achieve it, they don't repeat that success.
No.
Hey, let's have that problem.
And it's
about it when it comes.
Right. The Chiefs are a well-run enough organization that with all we're talking about here, with Toney and Sky and Justin, right, with all those guys that they brought in, when they don't work out, everyone goes, it was a good gamble. Right? It's you don't even complain about the cost. You know, they did. They gave up the third and a sixth-round pick to go get Kadarius Toney.
You won the Super Bowl.
They spent the second-round pick on Sky Moore, who's given them basically nothing.
Won the Super Bowl.
Right. And Justin Ross is a zero.
Won the Super Bowl.
Right. Like, it doesn't matter.
We don't care.
Those are all good gambles because they're winning. At the highest possible level, they've still been able to
even
win.
Even if they're bad gambles.
Yeah.
In the end, it truly is the ends justify the means to some degree, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm within reason. Okay.
Yeah.
Got to qualify within reason. But yes, if you win, whatever process got you there, so you made some mistakes. Yeah. You know, and there will always going to be some fans. There are always going to be some percentage. And I'm not just talking about bulky. I'm sure this is in any market, you know, because people get dug in on their opinions. And it's human nature. You don't want to have to change your opinion and admit you were wrong. Somebody said something the other about a week ago on Twitter, and I said, well, what about this? Did you think about this? He goes, yeah, I'm going to do a rare thing. I'm going to admit a mistake on the internet. I'm like, I don't even know if you made a mistake. We're just kind of having a conversation here, you know, but people do get dug in, and not only certain people. Look, a vast majority of people who are in this listening audience, if you consider yourself a Jaguar fan and supporter, we know it's well over 95% that are going to be deliriously happy, right? And you know what? You'll have Balky over for dinner. You know what I mean? It won't matter. It'll be kumbaya. Everyone's going to be hugging and crying and loving each other. And then there's always that small percent that just can't be happy with anything.
Yeah, what about next year, though?
Yeah, well, we should have done it. Why didn't we do it sooner? Mm-hmm. Why didn't we do this? Why isn't this happening? Why don't we have this? Y'all, your standard's too low. You're going to tell us to settle for this. I'm not telling you to settle for anything. I'm just telling you what I think is reasonable.
Don't tell me not to have a good time when they win.
Yeah, just have one. Remember remember last year, one of the guys that the Jags fan base really wanted them to draft in the first round? Darnell Washington, right? Mm-hmm. Now, he ended up going in the third round, late third round. So I just wonder what they talk about with him up in Pittsburgh. You know, because they had a young tight end in Freiermuth, right? And they're when they drafted him, people were like, oh, he's going to be Twin Towers. He's going to be unstoppable. He's a red zone beast. How are you going to stop this guy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, would you have known he played last year, honestly, right?
Really?
I mean, didn't make much of an impact. And imagine if the Jags had gone with what you wanted. I know for a lot of people, the Brenton Strange pick, most people came out of left field, shocked them, especially, you know, as we talked about many times, Osiris Torrence was sitting there for you, a guy that we had discussed for the Jags in the first round and was sitting there with the second round pick, the offensive guard who ended up going to Buffalo. And, you know, imagine if they had gone that route. Imagine if you didn't have Anton Harrison, Tony, and you traded back twice and you thought, well, we got extra value, so now we can take Darnell Washington here in the first round.
Yeah.
Oof. You know, so it no matter how bad you think a pick is, it could be worse at times. And by the way, we don't think the Anton Harrison pick is bad. It's the Strange pick that is still in the incomplete category right now. Stephen Melbourne is up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing this morning?
Excellent. What's up?
I just wanted to give my thoughts, you know, on the second-year rookies from last year. I think Brenton Strange is kind of going to keep doing what he's doing with blocking, maybe get a couple passes here and there. Because, you know, I agree, nobody's going to unseat Ingram at all unless he gets injured, knock on wood. Tank Bigsby, I think he's going to make a good jump. I know he had a fumbling issue, but people seem to forget when ETN first started running on his own after the rookie season because he got hurt and J-Rob was still here. He had a fumbling problem his first year. It eventually cleans up that we've seen from running backs. I don't know why. Some people have it. Some people don't. I really want to see Tugboat get the, you know, battle it out for that right guard spot. I think Yasir, I feel bad for him. I think they drafted for an outside linebacker and now scheme switch. And I just think he's too small to be an outside defensive end. Kind of like the Kalavon Chase on just kind of an undersized guy. I don't think he ain't going to do much. But I think there's value in Ventrell. Whenever he's healthy, I agree with Mike. He was just unstoppable whenever he's healthy. But that's pretty much my overall think on some of the guys. But,
All right, we appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for weighing in. Look, Ventrell, there are plenty of guys that are great, great college players, even at major programs, that don't do anything in the NFL. I'm not saying that's Ventrell Miller one way or the other. All I'm saying is when I point out, there were times when I was like, damn, I got pretty good. And I'm not exactly the biggest Gator fan, Tony, you may be aware, that I hope he reaches that level, man. You know, like you're in teal now, baby. Let's go. Sport Johnson, always good for a little sarcasm and or irony on Twitter. What up, MD? Hoping Ventro Miller will give us the most value for the player at the end of the day. But on another note, Larry from Orange Park just texted and said last night's roast should have been of Nathan Rourke because he is the ultimate Patriot goat.
Mm.
So true. Let's get Gary and Julington Creek up, and then we'll hit the top of the hour and continue the conversation with you in hour number two. Gary, you're on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk about something I don't hear a lot about. It's the Jaguars were 8-3. That's a pretty good team, don't you think?
At that point, sure. Yeah. I mean, not perfect, but yes, yes.
But then the Kansas City is going to win the Super Bowl again, and then they had a down season. In the middle of the season, we're all thinking, well, hey, man, it looks like they're out. Someone else is going to get in. So I just wanted to, the difference, I think, take the light off of Balke and put it on Peterson at that point. The difference in the coaching between Reed and Peterson, I don't know what, you know, I know we had injuries. I'm not sure what happened with Kansas City in there. I'm sure it was some injuries. But what about what you – you know, what is your opinion?
I hear what you're saying. You're asking, like, whatever shortcomings they had, what do we put on the front office? What do we put on the coaching staff? Is that basically what you're saying? Yeah. Let me ask you.
Yeah.
How would you, Gary, do you feel like Doug Peterson doesn't get enough critique, or maybe the coaching staff didn't get enough critique in this process?
Well, I know it's, you know, the draft and all right now, Balke's getting a lot of it. But I would like to hear – I love Peterson. Don't want him to go anywhere. But I want him – I really want him to figure out what went wrong so we don't have
– Of course.
Again. It seems like they were not really pushing the guys. It wasn't – you know, it seemed like there was not so much discipline.
All right. Garrett, you're breaking up a little bit. I think I got your gist here. And you know, towards the end there, it's kind of, you know, did they – read their own press clippings, right? Mm-hmm. We heard Doug talking about this, right? So let's table this. We got a break right now. We're only get buried here. We'll come back, Gary. We'll address that. Is there a fair amount of critique or questioning given to both sides of that operation? We'll discuss on the other side. The Jaguars Today, Chad and Sandy Real Estate question of the day today is which of these four 2023 draft picks will ultimately provide the most value for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Is it Brenton Strange, Tank Bigsby, Ventrell Miller, or Cooper Hodges? And right now, everybody getting at least 14.5%. That's pretty evenly distributed here with the high up at 35 and three guys getting over 20% of the vote. So pretty good. We'll discuss our options on that a little bit later on, but we'll come back and talk about Gary's point here about the coaching staff versus the front office and where we need to see a better performance out of the answer is probably across the board. But Gary, thank you for the call. 641-1010 on the All Pro Roofing phone lines. If you want to get in, this is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, we continue along here. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith. I don't know if I want to touch the live wire yet. I'm not sure if I want to touch the live wire of the 2025 mock draft that I've seen out there, Tony. I don't know if it's worth it. It probably is worth it to stir the pot, but it's more aggravating than anything, and it makes me really question this particular site that I like, and I probably shouldn't. I should question this one particular so-called analyst, I will say. At that site. So maybe we'll get to that coming up. But why don't we do this while we got a minute and go around the rest of the National Football League.
Now, Gems Around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
The New England Patriots are waiving quarterback Nathan Rourke, whom they picked up on waivers from the Jaguars last December. Former Florida State, now New York Jets quarterback Jordan Travis, still just 5 months removed from an injury that ended his season last year in Tallahassee, said at the Jets rookie minicamp this weekend that he has thought about being Aaron Rodgers' successor at quarterback for the Jets, but for now, he's just focused on getting back to being healthy and being able to play football again. J.J. Watt kept the door open to playing again when asked about it at a charity softball event on Saturday. Watt said, quote, I'm very fortunate, a lucky man. I have a beautiful wife, a beautiful son. I've had 12 great years in this league. I'm very thankful to have walked away healthy and playing great. I told D'Amico Ryans last year, don't call unless you absolutely need it. But if you ever do call, I'll be there. And he knows not to call unless he absolutely needs it. This is the last year I'll tell him that, because I'm not going to keep training the way I've been training, end quote. And running back Duke Johnson, who played 8 years in the NFL for Cleveland, Houston, Miami, and Buffalo, announced his retirement from the NFL this week.
The Duke. All right, then. My favorite quote from a player this weekend, not from Jordan Travis, from Javon Baker. Mm-hmm. See what he said about?
No.
it's not hard to find. Just Javon Baker, just put that in. And probably the first thing that comes up is viral clip of Javon Baker. And you can actually see and hear what he has to say about he does not think that there are 17 nor even 10 better receivers than him, and he is very emphatic about it. And I kind of like it, Tone. You know what I mean? Like, don't you want your man, everyone, we want a dog, right? We don't want a cat. We want a dog. We want a guy who's ornery and this and that. Now, there's some like, hey, Rook, do something. Mm-hmm. But I like the fact that he is disgusted that so many receivers went ahead of him in the NFL draft.
Sure.
And, you know, puts a chip on his shoulder. And, you know, fine. I don't care about the added attention given to me at this point. Let's focus on this. All right. Let's focus on the question we got heading into the break.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does Doug Peterson get enough criticism compared to Trent Baalke? We focus on Trent Baalke. How do you divvy it up? First, I think Doug Peterson clearly starts in such a better position because he's a Super Bowl champion.
Mm-hmm.
And Trent Baalke is not. And when Trent Baalke came here, you know, there's talk about, oh, he wasn't great with interpersonal relationships with San Francisco. So people looked at him kind of cockeyed. And he was kind of like the number two to Dave Caldwell, who people didn't have a lot of respect for the job he was doing. And so, you know, kind of felt like it was by process of momentum. He's already here in the building. Shad Khan doesn't know who to hire. We're going to keep Trent Baalke around. So even though it was a one-month process and hiring Doug Peterson, you ended up with a Super Bowl-winning coach. Never had a coach that had won a Super Bowl at the time fronting your organization before. So I think, it, you know, Doug Peterson gets so much more goodwill. And to this day, we ran a poll now. What would it come out? Who do you have more confidence in? To get the, oh, this would be a good one, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be so lopsided. I'm saying 87 to 13 in favor of Doug. Like, there's probably a few more maybe Doug detractors than we realize, right? It's not that there are a bunch of Baalke lovers out there, but there may be people that are going, hey, wait a minute now. They did go 9-8. They won the division. And granted, okay, we didn't add a ton of new stuff, but we added a couple of key draft picks. You did have the same raw material to work with. You're supposed to make these guys better. We're supposed to see a better version of Trevor Lawrence in year three. Whether he got, it's like we're talking about, Tone, interchangeable pieces around Mahomes, with the exception of a handful.
Mm-hmm.
And they continue to play at a crazy high level. We got to get our quarterback to that level. He's not there yet. But to me, I think most people look at 8-3. Yes, there were issues with the press clippings or the fire or the preparation or however you want to put your finger on that and define that. And that is in part on the coaching staff. But I do think injuries played a role with this football team. And I think a lot of people look at it and say, well, how good was the raw material they had to work with on the offensive line? And when that offensive line then, when maybe is kind of average and you're missing your left tackle for 8 games in that process, when the guy you trade for to improve your position at left guard is never really healthy for you. When that center, despite the fact that he's holding it down, he's just the best of a bad lot of options. We don't have a guy that can push him out of there. Sheriff didn't have a great year. Did the coaching fail to get the best out of these guys? I think more people look at it like the raw material wasn't there. The coaching, I'm not saying the coaching's 100 on a scale of 1 to 100 or an A+, but I do have more confidence in Doug Peterson to rectify any mistakes there, and they did hold the defensive staff accountable. And that happened. So, yes, Doug Peterson is responsible for the whole staff, but he's obviously an offensive-minded head coach, been a play caller, all those things. I think that is where you look to more improvement. Now, was the offense as good as we expected them to be last year? I don't think so. So I think Doug should have gotten more done with what he had, but I still think that I would put more on, I need better raw material. Doug Peterson, to me, has more equity built up in my mind. And I don't know if he would outlast Trent Baalke, you know, if it ever came to that. I don't think either one of them is even on the warm seat right now.
No, I don't think either one of them are in that kind of position right now. I think Doug Peterson could have made a change at offensive coordinator this offseason and no one would have blinked.
I agree.
Right? And he decided not to.
Many
because,
would have applauded.
Right, because he believes in Press Taylor. He's got a good working relationship with Press Taylor. We're going to see who's going to wind up actually being the guy who calls plays for this team last year. We talked a lot about it 2 years ago. Right, Doug Peterson called plays in the first halves of all those games, and in the second halves when the Jags were having historic comebacks, franchise historic comebacks, that was Press, right, calling the plays for those second halves of games. So you can understand why Doug Peterson would have some confidence in Press Taylor. I look at specifically the question the way it was asked, 8-3 to missing the playoffs, mm-hmm. right, and where do you put the blame for that? Because I think what the Jaguars didn't have in that losing streak was any sense of urgency, ever, right? It never felt like once they got to 8-3, even when they started losing football games that they could have won and it was close and, you know, Trevor's a little banged up and all these different things that were going on, it always felt like the room was waiting for whatever the magic that had lifted them up the year before was to show back up again. It's like, well, we did it last year. We'll do it this year. You know, we'll figure it out in the end. We'll figure it out. Well, then you go to Tennessee, and they stole your lunch.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's essentially what happened. And throughout that entire process, as McManus has talked about with us several times, it felt like a team that didn't have the attitude instilled in them that it's not going to be last year, guys. You can't just say, well, we did it last year, so this year it's going to – and it did feel like a team that was waiting on something to push them in that direction as opposed to grabbing whatever that is. Now, that I put more on Doug, and it's not because I think he should be on a hot seat. I think it's looking specifically at that situation that as the head coach in that room week to week, that those guys didn't seem to play at the kind of level they needed to play at to get whatever that was gone. It's got to go. Just one more time, they had to figure out a way to win a game, and they would have been in the playoffs. So as far as where do I put more of the blame for what happened in that losing streak at the end, I do put more of it on Doug than I do Trent.
Well, at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're talking about specifically for the losing streak, but I also think injuries were a big factor in that. And I have to wonder, was Doug Peterson let this message seep out into the media throughout the season?
Yes.
Right? That we didn't have that intensity. We didn't have that. Whatever.
Bad week of practice,
right? I believe that is a guy who has tried to give the message to his team, and they're not responding to that message. So you're trying to turn the burner up a little bit publicly, like, hey, guys, got to be better than this.
Yeah.
At a certain point, and granted, it's kind of like we talk about with Kansas City. You win the Super Bowl, almost every decision you made can be justified yeah. on the road to it, right? If the Jags get that level of play and that fire, you're going to give credit to the coaching staff, whether it should be internally motivated or not. You're going to tell me, Leon Searcy will come in here today. You think Leon needed Tom Coughlin to get him fired up to go play back in the 90s? You know, like, yeah. You've got to be able to seize the opportunity as a hungry professional striving right. for greatness yourself.
And I do think, to a large degree, the kind of questions like that get asked are, well, who can I blame? Right? That's what all comes down to is, who can I blame more for how it went at the end of the season last year? And in my mind, I'm not looking to blame anybody. Right there, here, it happened the way it happened last year. You're judged on whether you win or lose. And they lost a bunch at the end of the season last year. The head coach is the one that's in charge of what's happening on the field. That's his job.
Sure.
So ultimately, the person that's going to be held responsible for, well, it was an 8-3 team, and then they collapsed at the end of the season. Like, who am I going to blame more for that? The coach. Because he's the one that's in charge of what they're doing week to week with those kind of things. But I think the blame for between the roster situation and what happened in that locker room for that run at the end. I think it's about 50-50 in my mind between the two of them.
Because you could very easily go, you didn't give us the raw material that could hold up over a 17-game season.
Absolutely.
That, you know, yeah, we got to 8-3 and we did it a little bit with duct tape and bailing wire. And then, you know, as soon as we got a few leaks, we didn't have the reserves to plug those holes. And you can spin it any way you want. You're right. In the end,
there's enough blame to go around there that you can blame everybody. And the owner came out and basically said, even taking all that into account, I'm not changing this.
Right.
Right? I feel comfortable with these two guys being the guys in those positions.
And if the Jags go out and win another 9 this year, even if it's 9-8.
Yeah.
Is Shad Khan moving on with a third straight winning record?
I doubt it.
You know, and let's hope we don't even have to have those conversations. Let's have conversations about
go win 13.
What kind of an extension did Trent Baalke earn after the Jags went 13-4 this year? All right. If you're on the line, stay there. We'll get to you. We're a little behind, so we'll grab you on the other side. If you want to hang on at 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark here with you. You're listening to Jaguars Today. Keep it right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, let's get a call in here with Drew and Ortega, Tony, and then we'll look at a site that we'll never have to look at perhaps again, just briefly. I'm saving it. I'm pushing it off towards the end because I don't want it to become the sole focus of today's show. But 641-1010, if you'd like to get in on the All-Pro Roofing phone lines like Drew is doing, you can do that. Drew, good morning. You're on Jaguars Today.
Hey, how are y'all? Thank you for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. What's up?
Hey, I was just calling to bring up the fact that it seemed, especially towards the end of the year, the Jags were just a soft team. Soft mentally, soft physically. We got bullied by the Buccaneers, who were just an above-average team. And I was just wondering what y'all's thoughts were if we maybe have gotten tougher in the offseason or if that's a coaching issue. You know, I mean, that was just pretty sad to watch, I thought, in the end. But and also, Florida State got snubbed and would have won the Natty. So that's it. Thank you.
Amen. Everyone knows that. Uh-huh. I mean, it goes without saying. That defense would not, you know, hard to beat a team if you can't score on them. Don't. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know, there's a number of things here. Like, was not the core of the team last year very similar to the core of the team the year before?
They were plenty tough the year before.
I mean, right? Like, isn't that a little mystifying? Okay, Arden Key, and, you know, he was a, you know, rally the troops kind of guy. Okay, that doesn't mean down in, down out toughness changes. They got pushed around. They did have kind of soft is such an ugly and dangerous word to use mm-hmm. when it refers to NFL players, but they certainly didn't, as we talked about, seemed to have that intensity, that whatever. They did get pushed around against the Bucs. The Bucs were the players were punking them and joking
right
during that game.
I think, look, we've talked about Brenton Strange a little bit on the show today, right? And I think Brenton Strange, when you look at his injury and the way that kind of changed the way that they have to play offense with Strange off the field, which it does, and just speaking to toughness, right, for the football team, and I look at something like, when did Devon Hamilton get back on the field?
And when he did, was he anything like
right
the guy we had seen previously?
And how did that affect everything else they were doing when stopping the run on defense? It affects more than just having Devon Hamilton back, right? There is a ripple effect to those kind of things, and Devon, for whatever reason, was not the same player we had seen through the first couple of years of his career. He just wasn't the same guy last year for them when he was able to get back onto the football field. I think it's they were paying the price for those kind of things at the end of the season, and it comes off as, why isn't my team tougher than it is? Well, it's because they're having to deal with a lot more things than they aren't just the same team that they were the year before, right? Different pieces are in different places, and those things have ramifications. And the ramifications last year were they couldn't stop anything against Tampa. Not a thing. Right? And they couldn't stop Derrick Henry again, week 18. There are ramifications for those kind of things on that side of the ball. Do I think they've done something to change that this offseason? You better believe I do.
They have, but whether or not that will work is still to be determined.
Yeah, that'll be determined. But do I think they're better?
Look, they
in those areas, yeah, I do.
Three high-profile defensive tackles.
Yes.
In terms of two picks, one in the second round, one in the fourth round, and a big-money free agent who's a proven contributor, you know, a proven performer. That's a better phrase for it. So they've addressed some of that. Mitch Morse, is that enough on the offensive line? I don't know.
We don't know.
But they did address.
But it was a necessary change.
Absolutely. Yeah. So they've done some of that. But to say, will they be? I my hope is that it's a combination of things. Players realize they let a great season's worth of opportunities slip through their fingers last year at 8-3.
Yeah.
That nobody stepped up and demanded the accountability to make it stop. Or if they did, they were unsuccessful.
It felt like a team that never got touched by the urgency until the season was done.
And look. I would hope Doug Peterson, every time somebody gets tired late in a practice, whatever, remember, all right, this is how we faded last year. Like, he's got something to point to. The entirety of the offseason, anytime times get tough, and hopefully all that plus, you know, you can yell and scream and coach up a guy. Some guys just don't have it, right? So, you know, if you got to have the raw material, do they have better raw material? We hope that's the case. We hope that, and maybe Devon Hamilton's part of that raw material, just being healthier this year. Needs to be. All right, let me look. You ever heard of Kef Ciardello?
No.
Yeah, me either. So I'm not taking this with a whole lot of, you know, importance, other than this one really stood out to me, and it's probably why he did it, right? Okay. But did a mock, just looking ahead to 2025. Let me just tell you about the process, and we're not breaking down needs of all these teams and everything, but he's got Carolina picking first. All right, if Carolina picks first, that means they've earned the number one pick 2 years in a row with Bryce Young at quarterback. Yeah. Now, the Jags did that with Trevor Lawrence. Everyone gave him a pass because of Urban Meyer, whether it was fair or not. But in his second year, then.
If they had done that again in 2022.
But they did. They won the division, won a playoff game in spectacular fashion. If the Panthers earned the worst record in the league for the second year in a row, you think they're taking an offensive tackle at one?
Probably not.
I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, they're taking a quarterback is what they're doing. Washington at two, they're not going to take quarterback. Tennessee at three. If the Tennessee Titans have the 30th best record in the league, they're sticking with Will Levis? Not sure about that.
Mm-hmm.
If the Giants, Tony, who were rumored to be all about moving up to get Drake May this year but were unable to do so, finish with the fourth worst record in the league, and they can get out of Daniel Jones' contract for a much more reasonable amount, they're not going to do that? I mean, put it this way. Reasonable is a relative thing. Still take a $22 million dead cap hit, but that's down from $69 million this year. And his cap number, if he's on the roster, is 41.5. So anyway, trust the process. I don't trust it here. But with the 14th pick in the draft, I really don't want to say this, but I will say it anyway, because this is how I think of the people that call in on this subject. The Jaguars select... Say it for me, please.
DJ Uiagalelei.
Thank you. Uiagalelei. You say it better than I do. That's why
I had a day where I was doing updates and had to
learn the
name.
You were doing like halftime updates for Touchdown Radio and you had a Clemson game, right? DJ Uiagalelei. Okay. Trevor Lawrence, the Jaguars picked up his fifth-year option, but with no new contract and the offseason addition of Mac Jones – is a quarterback controversy brewing in Duval? I mean, right there. Stop. Just stop. Honest to God. I mean, no new contract. Like, it's May 6th, man. They both sides are saying, we want to get it done. We think it'll get done. Hopefully sooner rather than later. Mac Jones didn't have his fifth-year option picked up. There's a quarterback controversy? I mean, only in the delusional, paranoid, conspiracy-minded segment of the fan base.
Well, I think he's explaining some things for me, right? I'm pretty convinced after this that Josh Kendall over at The Athletic must think the same thing.
Must. Right. Well, Kendall at least had him picking seventh. Here the Jags are finishing right basically the same, middle of the pack, 14th, not discernible. So like 8 and 9 instead of 9 and 8. And of course, by then, when Trevor Lawrence signs the contract extension at some point this offseason, I mean, the whole thing's stupid. What this has taught me is I don't need to know Kef Ciardello.
Ah.
That's what it's taught me. But honestly, like, all right, Jags need a quarterback. Let's get a guy who's never failed to come up short and expectations throughout his college career?
Mm-hmm.
Is DJ now maybe he has a redemption year in Tallahassee and he's thought of as a top half of the first round quarterback. Anything's possible at that position,
yeah.
Right? Come on, man. So for Terrence and the crew, head on over to profootballnetwork.com and you can just bathe in that all afternoon.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
If you want to. Oh, my God. All right, let's come back and look at today's Chad and Sandy Real Estate question of the day. It's a pretty good one. Again, everyone getting at least 14%. Three of the options getting at least 21% of the vote. Which of these 2023 draft picks will ultimately provide the most value for the Jacksonville Jaguars? Is it tight end Brenton Strange, running back Tank Bigsby, linebacker Ventrell Miller, or offensive lineman Cooper Hodges? We'll discuss on the other side. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
If you're watching on the YouTube virtual studio, you saw the headset fall off my head right there. So got that going for you. You never know what kind of bonuses we may throw in visually on this radio broadcast. The question of the day, this got a lot of votes here. You know, they probably get up over 1,000, 1,200, which is a bunch in the offseason. We're well over 600 already so far on this. It's a simple one-click answer. Which of these draft picks from last year ultimately provide the most value for the Jags? Now, I'm not talking about Anton Harrison. I mean, Tony, if you told me that Anton Harrison were to retire today, I can't guarantee any of these guys will give the same value that Anton Harrison gave as a starting tackle for one season. You know, so the bar is what the bar is. But Brenton Strange, Tank Bigsby, Ventrell Miller, Cooper Hodges, how do you see this question?
I would, going from least to most in my mind.
Okay.
Right, so the bottom of my list would be Ventrell.
Okay.
Third on my list would be Brenton Strange. Second would be Cooper Hodges, and first at the top I'd have Tank.
I think you and I have the same order.
Yeah. At the top I'd have Tank.
Now, I will leave it open to the possibility that Ventrell Miller could flip this whole thing on its head, right? Could he be one of your starters in base defense, potentially?
Maybe,
right? I'm not saying he will be. Could he be? This guy was really good at Florida.
It's someone's got to be in a 4-3, which is what they seem to be saying they want to play.
Correct.
Right? Someone's got to be the strong, and someone's got to be the weak side linebacker. And I do look at it and say, well, I do think there are better answers with Devin Lloyd maybe at strong side than at weak side for this football team. So that would open the door for a Ventrell Miller. Or
at least on first and second down.
Right, Yasir Abdullah, that kind of thing. Now, when they go to nickel and it's two linebackers on the field, Devin's on the field.
Sure. Oh, right? Absolutely. But if you were just that for Ventrell Miller, I think that's a lot more than a lot of people expect. Now, Ventrell Miller could also be a guy that is just has the crap luck and never stays healthy. Right? I mean, some guys.
It happens. Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, if he's any more biologically predisposed to any kind of injury than anybody else, but he's had some bad injury luck.
Yes, he has.
You know, and we hope for the best. So he may never make any impact for the Jags. I'm with you. Tank Bigsby, I think, there's such an easy path to see. Like, if I knew Cooper Hodges was going to open a season as a starter, I'd probably go with Cooper Hodges because he's cheap labor. You got a lot of big price contracts here. You need a few starters making NFL minimum salary, especially as a late round pick, that would be fantastic. I don't think he does much for them this year at all. This is all a bet for 2025 and beyond.
Who knows what they would do in next offseason if they are at that point and it's okay, we got to find a new right guard. They may have seen enough of Cooper to say
that maybe he's good enough to be one of the top eight, but not a starter.
And maybe we want to give him a shot or maybe we want to push him. You know, like who knows how that's going to work, but that kind of question is a year away. I think it's pretty clear right now he's the backup, you know, to one of those guard spots, and that's okay.
And if Brandon Scherff were to get hurt today, which we don't want to happen.
No.
Shatley probably gets the first look, right?
Just because
of experience and comfort level from that degree. Now, Cooper Hodges needs to beat out a veteran, not even a journeyman, Shatley would be a journeyman if he went to different places, right? He's like the hometown equivalent of a journeyman. He keeps on him into one-year deals.
And he's very comfortable here, which is why he remains here.
All right, Brenton Strange will play. And, you know, you're looking at some of those snap counts from last year that are a little surprising to me, honestly, to think he played that many snaps early in the season, because I didn't notice him very much in anything. And again, like you said, you know, logs would come in and say, hey, I think Brenton Strange is playing well, whatever.
Yeah, I think he adds value as a blocker, which is hard to see.
It's not necessarily hard to see, like you don't focus in on it.
Right, you're not watching play to play, oh, what Brenton do on that
Right,
play?
Unless you are, right?
Like, and there were a couple times where Brenton had a block, and it was like, whoa. Like, he did have those kind of moments last year, I can remember, early in the season. I think he is capable of giving you that, and I think he's capable of giving you a little bit more as a receiver than he was asked to give you last year. So I do think there's a chance for him to improve, but Evan Engram is as much a roadblock at that position as there exists among these kind of guys.
He's certainly as much a roadblock to Brenton Strange as Travis Etienne is to Tank Bigsby. You know, an injury to either one of the starters could open things up, but otherwise you're going to have a complimentary and supportive role. But you will have a role. And so I can understand voting for them. It's interesting, the split between Miller and Hodges to me. Maybe it's because people think Miller has no obvious fit. Like, they can just go, man, we need help on the O-line. If Hodges gets up to speed this year, I can just – you could see the succession plan right there. Sheriff, thank
He's
you for your
He's the local
service.
Kid. He's the one doing the gymnastics.
Created some buzz.
Yeah.
And then he gets hurt. And had he had that season where he could be on the bench, work in practice, do all these things, maybe he would enter this offseason with a realistic chance to push for that now. But I think what we've been saying for the last few months is they want to get that look at him this year in that capacity. But – he's the leading vote getter. Now, I think part of it is the dissatisfaction with the offensive line. Like, hey, if you play offensive line, you got a chance to contribute on this team. That's where we need the help. Ventro Miller's path to playing time is a little bit tougher, perhaps, to see. And maybe it's just a cumulative effect. Like, we're not following Cooper Hodges as we're following Ventro Miller. Had injury issues at Florida. Has had injury issues now coming into the National Football League. So maybe it's they just don't think he's ever going to be healthy. But Cooper Hodges hasn't played it down in the NFL either.
Yeah.
And he's getting 34% of the vote, and Miller's getting 15% of the vote. So it's just interesting to me how he is, you know, that far ahead. But I do think all those factors roll in, particularly people's dissatisfaction with the overall state, or, you know, hope that they've done enough on the offensive line. And right now, that's the clearest spot you can circle. You go, all right, we got a 2-year center. Don't know what happens beyond that for Mitch Morse. Ezra Cleveland signed for 3 years. He's pretty young. You can imagine Cooper Hodges is not pushing him out of the starting lineup anytime
soon. Wouldn't think so. Nope.
Right. And so that's it. You got two spots, and you got an aging veteran, former 5-time Pro Bowler, and you know, let's hope Sheriff has a kind of a renaissance year. That'd be great.
Yeah, I can remember with Tank, which is where my vote went in today's poll. I can remember last year after they had drafted him and all the discussions going into the season and people talking about how much of a role he was going to have. And I was one of the guys that was saying, I don't think his role is going to be very big. I think Etienne is a good enough player. He's a Pro Bowl level running back. That's how I felt about Etienne going into the season last year. I felt like there's going to be a role for Tank Bigsby, but in the end, ultimately, I think it's going to be pretty small. And as we got closer and closer to the season, there was more and more kind of pushing towards Tank Bigsby. How much is of ETN's production is he going to cut into it, right? And then the season started the way that it did for Tank, and things turned on him, right, for basically the middle third of the season especially. He was a missing man in the Jaguars' offense. I think it's going to be more what I expected his role to be last year for Tank plus a little bit something else. I think he's going to be closer to what people thought he would be going into his rookie year as opposed to what I thought he was going to be this year. I think he's going to be more in that kind of role where I can see him being the guy who gets that 6 to 8 touches a week, right, in this Jaguars offense. I think that kind of thing is very much in play for Tank.
Sure it is, and so he's going to have a role, right, which I think will be the primary backup, the heartbeat away, right? don't know if Cooper Hodges will ever have a role.
Well, he's got
to,
yeah.
He's not even guaranteed to make the team.
Yeah, things right? got to fall his way.
Like, Tank will be on the team. Brenton Strange will be on the team. I think Ventrell Miller will be on the team. Cooper mm-hmm. Hodges doesn't have that kind of draft capital investment. Now, based on how inexpensive he is and all the other conditions and why they have reason for hope for him, I think he's got a better chance than not. But I'm just saying, it's not a mortal lock.
Yeah.
And yet he's winning the poll here. Like Tank will play. And when Tank plays, Tank is going to have a better opportunity to be noticed for positive contributions in Brenton Strange.
Yeah, well, I'll see it.
He may be the goal line back.
Yeah.
Tank Bigsby, there's a world out there where Tank Bigsby scores you 8 or 10 touchdowns this year, Tone. Now, I don't think that's the likely outcome, even if he is the goal line back, because ETN's had a pretty good nose for the end zone as well.
Yes.
And so I don't think it's like exclusively Tank, but I think he'll steal a few and get those opportunities. If he converts them, you convert 4th and 1s. Everyone sees that. Everyone understands that value. Here's a tough dude running hard. He broke 2 tackles, and he picked up 3 tough yards on 3rd and 2. You can see that. With Brenton Strange, yeah, you can see it. But you got to be really looking for it. If you just follow the ball, you're going to find Tank Bigsby. Mm-hmm. If you follow the ball, you might not ever find Brenton Strange, or
sure.
Maybe you see him a dozen times all year long. So he may contribute. It's just not going to be as readily apparent, I think. Pockets, who'd you vote for in this one? Who will provide the most value out of those four?
If it's for this year, I'll say Tank Bigsby. I really don't see any of the other three having an impact this year.
What if it's for the life of their tenure in Jacksonville?
I lean Cooper.
Okay. I think it's easy Bigsby this year for me.
Yeah, I just don't see Ventrell having an impact. Brenton Strange, only unless injury happens in front of him, hopefully not, obviously. But over the 10-year, if you say, 3, 4, 5-year window, I'd say Cooper Hodges, just because of the little bit we saw in that window we had in the preseason last year, what he was able to do.
It's the hope, right? But, I mean, it's there. It's the hope, the opportunity, the need, the value. Yes, the local aspect of it. There's a little of that. Like, if Cooper Hodges was from, Elmira, New York or whatever, we wouldn't care. We'd be like, oh, you mean the guy from Elmira who did some cartwheels? That guy, right? And that'd be the only reason you'd know much about Cooper Hodges right now. 34.6% of nearly 700 votes going to Hodges. So a lot of, I don't know if the expectation as much as wish and desire to have that be the outcome here. 29% going with Bigsby. 22% going with Strange. So if anyone tells you no one thinks Brenton Strange will ever do anything, you can tell them that is wrong. More than 1 in 5 Jaguar fans think he'll do more than these other fellows. And 15% still going with Ventrell. Mm-hmm. And I think these are all on the table. And look, I think the safe assumption is you're going to have Bigsby be the number 2 running back, give you some kind of modest production. This is presuming ETN stays healthy. Brenton Strange will play those 20 to 25 snaps. He'll be your blocking tight end. He'll catch 15 to 20 passes, maybe, right? On the high end. Ventrell Miller, quite possible, doesn't have any role. Cooper Hodges, quite possible, doesn't have any role on this team. So it's all projection at this point in time. So if you can get anything beyond that from those guys, if Cooper Hodges starts one season for the Jags, that's a good 6th-round pick.
Yeah.
He was 6th, right? Not
7th.
Was he 7th? Okay, for some reason I thought he was 6th. That's even better. Same thing with Ventrell Miller. Look, if Tank Bigsby gives you 1 year as your feature back at the end of ETN's contract, if it comes out to that, all that's kind of gravy. Can you get more than that now, though? Right? This is when we got to have it, because this team still has a lot of pieces, still got a lot of the core that did get them to 8-3 last year, Tony, and hopefully they've gotten enough reinforcements in some key areas to help them take another step in
Absolutely,
their development.
Yeah.
And the young guys get better on top of that. But these young guys can't just be write-offs at this point. You can't be like, well, Bigsby will get 5 or 6 carries a game, Strange will be on the field for 20 snaps to block, and that's it. And that's what you're getting out of these 4 picks. If that's the case, it's utter catastrophe. And I know there are Jaguar fans that think that will be the case. I've seen nothing to indicate otherwise. Well, all you've seen is 1 year as well. And things can change. I'm not guaranteeing that they do, but I'm hoping that they do, certainly, at this point in time. I hope they all have fantastic careers. But right now, Cooper Hodges, your leader in the clubhouse with about 700 votes on that. If you haven't already, go to at MD_1010XL. We'll leave that out there for the rest of the day and look at the final tally coming up tomorrow. That'll do it for us as Helmets and Heels is on deck and ready to take over here on 1010XL. Me, Tony, Dylan, we'll all be back tomorrow and continue our march towards a schedule release, which we believe will come on Thursday of this week, which means we'll probably be talking about it with Tommy Mack on Friday and also rookie minicamp at the end of the week as well, so we can get all overexcited about a bunch of guys running around with no veterans on the field with no pads on. But we'll do it.
We'll do it.
I'd rather be excited than not, you know? Mm-hmm. It's what we have in the offseason. All right.
Something to react to.
It's something, exactly. Something on the field to react to. All right, for Tony Smith and Dylan Denmark, I'm Mike Dempsey. Again, stick around as Helmets and Heels comes your way for the next 2 hours right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.